What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Like, you just couldn't. There's no way you could fail. What would you do if you knew you simply could? What would you do if I sang out of tune?
Would you stand up and walk out on me?
Yeah, see, I'm just seeing if you're still paying attention. But seriously, what are you waiting for? Or better yet, who are you waiting for? Are you waiting for somebody to come along and give you permission? Somebody to select you? Are you waiting for a scout from the majors to happen upon you and drag you from the shadows of obscurity into the big show, the big top tent? Are you waiting for someone to recognize you at long last as the amazing person you are? Well, today's your lucky day. Here I am. Today, this day, right now, I officially pick you. You're hereby drafted into the blank. You fill in the blank. Whatever it is, you're drafted. You matter. I see you and I make this pledge to you and promise you that if you'll put in the effort and you'll apply yourself 100% and adopt a winning mindset and abide by the law of persistence, you will win. You will eventually win. You might win. But no matter what, if you leave your best on the field of life and you give it your all, whatever else happens, you'll not die with your music still in you.
If you ever walked alone at night, like a man against the world, no one takes your side, a boat against the tide. When your faith is shaken, you start to break, and your heart can't find the words.
Live from Homer, Alaska, I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. And this is the one and the only national anthem.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the rain. We're so gallantly streaming, and the rock is regular
unreal. Now that's how you do the national anthem. I felt for Reba McEntire. How do you, even though it's a year later, how on earth do you follow in those Chris Stapleton footsteps? I mean, just whomever got the job, or is it whoever? Whatever. Whomever got the job this year, man, were the cards stacked against you, whoever it was. And Reba's fine. I like Reba McEntire for what it's worth. I did feel like I was at a county, sort of a country fair with Reba. I mean, you know, again, she's great in her own respect, but I just was going back to last year. The last time I'd watched a football game happened to be the Super Bowl last year, and Chris Stapleton just tore the roof off that open stadium, and then Reba. So, you know, what are you going to do? What an incredible day here on Top of the World. Thank you for being here. This morning, I'm trying to put words around what I saw this morning. I don't know that I can. The pink painted sky. Yes, it's an incredibly windy day, whatever, but the pink painted sky I saw this morning was just phenomenal. And it's days like this that when I get to see the beauty of this area, this beautiful hamlet by the sea of Homer, Alaska, it's days like this, I think back to a conversation I had not that long ago. It was a few years back with an old high school buddy who'd moved away, pretty much right out of high school and moved away. And he was back to visit. And his comment, now we're sitting, by the way, just to set the stage, we're sitting in my offices here at our real estate company, Tiffany and I have built. Also the headquarters of our real estate portfolio, Story Properties, we've built. And the headquarters of our Story Productions radio facility. And he says to me, so you never got out, huh? Kind of looked around. I was like, huh. Kind of glanced out the window, looked out at the mountains. Beautiful bay. There was an eagle. I'm not making it up. There was an eagle soaring just off the bluff line. And I said, nope. Yep. Nope. Just still here. And loving every minute of it. It reminded me then, and it does now, of Ella Wheeler Wilcox's little couplet. It's part of a bigger poem, but this little couplet I'll never forget. Two prisoners looked out from behind prison bars. One saw the mud, the other the stars.
So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain. Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail? A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell? Did they get you to trade your heroes for gold? Hot ashes for trees. Hot air for a cool.
You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. I want to thank Horizon Wireless. Customer service matters. I mean, you know that, right? You can have a good company, you can do a lot, you can have a great product, but if your customer service sucks, so does your company, right? I mean, there's just no two ways around it. With Horizon Wireless, you not only get incredible wireless connectivity, and that matters a lot. I was talking to somebody looking to move here to Homer recently. And they said, well, what about wireless connection? What about internet? And we had this great conversation about one company. Yeah, that company is Horizon Wireless. 226-3130. 226-3130. And this is only if you want the best wireless connectivity coupled with the best customer service. Because I'm telling you, that matters a lot. And Leif and Cassandra have built an incredible company inside and out. And the culture there is about customer service. It matters. Coming up on the Backyard Millionaire on Thursday, I'm going to give you a sneak peek of what's to come. This is just a tidbit of my conversation with Sharon Lecter from the Rich Dad, Poor Dad organization. something your father said to you every single day? Have you added value to someone's life today? And so maybe that all ties together.
Yep, you've been doing your homework. That's right. He told me, you know, people ask me what my, you know, pieces of advice are, and that's always one of them. I grew up with him asking me that every night. You know, he's been gone for 18 years, but I still ask myself that every night. And wouldn't the world be a better place if everybody wanted to add value and not take it?
I can't wait to share the rest of that conversation. Sharon Lecter is just a really amazing person, on purpose, I should say. And I mean, think about that. Being raised by a man who would say, have you added value today to somebody else's life? How could you? I mean, here she is at 76, still adding value. It's a great conversation. I'll air both pieces of that conversation live on Thursday's edition of The Backyard Millionaire. How to create wealth where you are with what you've got. Stick around. We've got a lot more to come here on Top of the World. Let's talk about a little unnecessary roughing, shall we? You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Story, not a big football fan. I love watching NFL football. I really do. Certain times. I mean, it's. I grew up watching football with my grandpa, not my dad. My dad didn't, he just wasn't a sports guy. On Sunday, he'd be building something. He'd be planting something. He'd be digging the garden. He'd be, well, I guess not in football season, but see, that's how disconnected I am. But still, nevertheless, he's a builder. He's somebody who's constantly active, constantly doing. Never did you find my dad sitting on the couch watching a football game. Just didn't do it. My grandfather, on the other hand, loved football, and it was a pastime and a rite of passage. We'd go sit with Grandpa Art and watch games. So I can get right back into it like that. Little Kai Martin and Richard had gone down to see the Fortners on the last playoff game. And so Tiffany and I did tune into that because that was fun. It was fun to watch. Our grandson was sitting there amongst 25,000 people in San Francisco. And so it was fun. We tuned into the game in hopes to see him. We didn't, but it was a good game nonetheless. But let's get back to the Super Bowl for just a second. Everybody's talked about this ad nauseum. I don't need to add. You know, I think Joe Stump said it best. Only open your mouth if what you're about to say is going to improve upon the silence. And I'm not sure I can improve upon what's happening relative to the football game. But I will say this. I was chatting with my friend Ian this morning, and I asked him, I said, hey, what do you think about Taylor's boyfriend roughing up the coach? And he used one word, and Ian is somebody whom I respect. I've known Ian a long time. He is a calm, cool, awesome guy. He picked America on purpose from New Zealand to America, became an American as quick as he could. And he's picked America on purpose, and he's quiet. He doesn't say a lot. And when he speaks, he's like E.F. Hutton. You lean in and you listen. And he said one word. This is about, I said Taylor's boyfriend. I forget his actual name. Something Kelsey. Anyway, is it Andrew? No. I know. You're thinking it right now. It's like, this is how much I don't care. Whatever. That guy. The Pfizer guy. Anyway, Ian said one word. Disgusting. And then he added one more word. And this literally is a conversation with Ian. Hey, Ian, what do you think about that? Disgusting. And then he thought about it for a second and said, egregious. And I said, okay, done. I mean, I don't know if it's a combination. I don't know what's going on. Is it steroids? Is it just sheer adrenaline? But it comes to mind when you see somebody like him literally rough his own coach, blindside his own coach. One phrase comes to mind. How you do anything is how you do everything.
And that's all I have to say about that.
It's true. Not going to say anything else. I don't care how many times we got to see Taylor. I don't care about any of it. I will say, okay, now this will really be the last thing I say about the game. I tuned in, Tiffany and I tuned in for the first half. We have William. He's always been out on a Bahamian cruise. Isn't that special for her? So we've had William and we had him on game day. And we watched the first half and it was, you know, okay. And then I went away. We watched The Good Dragon. We did puzzles and played games and did all kinds of stuff with him. And, Travis. That's it. Travis Kelce. Thank you. Anyway, bottom line is we left the game. Next thing you know, Tiffany's bathing, WD. And I said, well, let me just check back in and see if it's even still on. And I literally tuned back in at the moment they went into overtime. The overtime started. I was like, okay, that last 15 minutes was worth the wait. It was worth it. And I'm glad I didn't have to sit through the whole thing. Anyway, that's enough about that. All right, what's your why? And I want to just discuss this from the standpoint of before you launch anything, so you could say a new endeavor, switch lanes in life, before you do anything new or different, I want to know your why. I want you to know your why. It's like Friedrich Nietzsche said, with a strong enough why, you can withstand any how. That's a paraphrase. With a strong enough why, you can withstand any how. For example, want to start a business? And my friend texted a minute ago, you got a business? You didn't build that. And it was a picture of Obama kind of looking in the mirror. Anyway, so if you want to start a business and know that you didn't build it, don't worry about that. But if you want to start a business, you better know why. The E-Myth is a great place to start. The Entrepreneurial Myth by Michael Gerber, an incredible series of books. The first one is all you really need. There's a whole, you know, host of them, but the first one's the most important, I think, of his work. And he says in that book, you know, so you're tired of working for that jerk, pointing over there, and then you point to yourself and say, I'd rather work for this jerk, you know, yourself. All right, fine. Understand that if freedom is what you want, it may be a few years before you get the freedom when you start your own business. And I don't think that's always understood. I don't think a lot of us go into it with eyes wide open about, I want freedom, I want to control my schedule and this and that. The first number of years of opening and running a business, man, it is not about freedom. Yes, there's choice, and with it, though, comes a consequence. Yeah, I can just take a week off, sure, and upset half your clientele, your customers, not be there for you. It's a balancing act until you can get the thing on its feet. You know, you hear the statistics about how many businesses fail in the first 2 to 5 years. It's true, because part of it is we miscalculate our why, and understanding the how, which is going to take more time, attention, maybe more detail, maybe more studying, more learning, whatever it is that maybe more than we're anticipating. So we better know our why to help pull us into the future. You want crazy cash? Is that your why? Like you just want to exit like Mark Cuban did from that, putting radio on the internet. It's essentially what he did, and exited with $2.9 billion from Yahoo. That's what you want? Okay, fine. But you better have a strong why to pull you through, not just the cash. There'll be something else that's going to pull you through the muck of self-employment, the muck of a startup, the murky middle, if you will. And like when I'm writing a novel and everything I've learned about that and everybody I've studied, and I've been studying this for 10 years, probably 10 years prior to putting out my first book, the murky middle, the mucky middle, that's the difficult part. Yeah, the starting is fun and exciting. Oh, wow, I've got an idea. What if a guy blank, and then you kind of just, oh, this is great and exciting, and then you get into the middle, like, oh, okay, but now where do I go? And then the ending is also more exciting. Now that's the exiting if you're selling a company. Tiffany and I have built a couple companies that we did sell, didn't intend to sell, but we did. And the intent was to grow them and build them and keep them. And then, okay, this isn't the right fit, sell it. And we did that twice, and everything else we built, we've kept. But our why is personal to us. You don't need to know my why, and I don't need to know your why, but you better have one. One in a million are going to become successful overnight. And for the rest of us, it could take 10 years.
With the distance, now I'm back on my feet. Just a man is willing to survive.
So many times it happened too fast. You trade your passion for glory. Don't lose your grip on the dreams of the past. You must fight just to keep them alive. Tiger, it's the thrill of the fight, rising up to the challenge of our rival.
I got this email. By the way, you're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb, bringing you what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. what I love sometimes is people will ask her, when they meet my mom, they'll say, Lynn, do you really call that the greatest show on earth? And she'll say, absolutely. And of course, every time she does, she holds out her hand and I have to, you know, grease the palm, put, you know, 50, 60 bucks, whatever. It's just, it's a relationship that works. Don't mock it. Got an email from a reporter, and it's kind of a cool subscription service where, you know, I've registered myself as an expert in certain things that I'll take emails on relative to business, finance, real estate, stuff like that. And so this reporter is looking to do a story, and this is the title of the story. How to go from broke to rich in 2024. What? How to go from broke to rich in 2024. So essentially, what are they doing? Yeah, exactly. They're looking for get-rich-quick kind of stories. So my initial thought is, okay, number one, listen to The Backyard Millionaire right here on KPEN and KGTL every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Or if you're not so fortunate to live in our broadcast footprint, you can go to Spotify, iTunes, or Amazon after the show and get the podcast later. That's one thing to do. The second thing to do would be to save money. Now, you know that you cannot save your way to wealth, but you can invest your way to a fortune if you can learn to save. All right, so getting rich is about saving money. Let's just say, for example, put a pin in the word rich for a minute. And then the other piece of advice that I would give to this reporter on how people can go from broke to rich in 2024 is to stop reading articles about getting rich quick, like this one is purporting to be. You know, you ain't going to get rich quick. And rich, by the way, is a nebulous, negligible, relative term. And I'll give you an example. I don't watch a lot of reality TV. Okay, cooking shows and so forth, but not a lot of reality TV relative to Housewives, you know, the high drama, baby mama drama, stuff like that. It's not my thing. But we just happened upon a show on Netflix called The Trust. It's obnoxious. It's ridiculous, but there's a carrot at the end of this stupid stick for $250,000, and they shove all these people into this luxurious, amazing seaside home in Australia and put them to these psychological tests, which are actually kind of funny in some ways. But there's this metrosexual named Bryce. He's 22 years old, and he claims to be both straight and a millionaire. It's yet to be seen on either front. However, here's the point. And there's no judgment on either of those points, by the way. I'm just saying it's hilarious. And he's basically felt stifled by not being able to be himself and show off everything from his Armani shoes to his Louis Vuitton handbag, his Louis Vuitton toothbrush holder, etc., because he doesn't want to expose himself as a millionaire, in his own words. And because he doesn't want the people inside the house to judge him unfairly for being a millionaire at 22 years old. So it's ridiculous. So he might be rich enough and he earns enough. And this is the most embarrassing part, is he's a realtor. So he's out of Seattle. And, you know, anyway, bottom line is he equates and associates with, and so do the other people in that house once they find out, rich. They mistake the word rich for wealthy. Because he's got all of these fashion type pieces that he parades and assumes means he's rich and wealthy. The truth of it is, wealth is worth waiting for. Remember, Warren Buffett earned 99% of his current wealth after the age of 60. After, you do not see Warren Buffett parading around in Lambos, the latest Ferrari, whatever. He drives the same old, what is it, a Volvo? Or it's an old Volvo or BMW, whatever it is. He had for 35 years, whatever. Maybe not drive it anymore. But the point is, when he was incredibly, how shall you say, just, I don't want to say frugal. It is frugal in that sense. Because he knows that wealth isn't worn on his sleeve or his wristwatch. For example, I saw an interview with Grant Cardone recently, and he was bragging about his $200,000 wristwatch. Wow. Okay. That's rich, not wealth. There's a big difference. You can get rich quick by robbing a bank. I don't recommend it. You'll get shot or go to jail. It's illegal. But that's rich for a minute. And so there's a big difference. So I'd suggest to this reporter, don't focus on how to get from broke to rich in 2024. how to adopt a wealthy mindset in 2024. Now that's worth writing, and I promise you it would be worth reading. Stick around, we've got times like these. And have you ever wondered about baseball caps and where they come from? And what gives you the right to be so optimistic in a time like this when we return to the top of the world? You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here. Have you ever wondered about the baseball cap and where it came from? Yeah, me neither. Not until today. And I don't even know why I did today. I just thought to myself, I wonder. Oh, I know why. I know exactly why. I have a couple of caps coming. I've ordered a couple of prototypes for myself, and they have my signature on them. I'm calling it my signature collection. Because I honestly, and this is not, you know, a self-aggrandizement or narcissism on display, I literally have worked on my, I started working on my signature when I was probably 16 years old in Jack Walsh's pottery class. I love it. I just, it flows this, the sort of, if you could speak the signature, it would be mellifluous, and it just flows beautifully because on the bottom of a pot at that leather heart stage with a wooden dowel tool, you have to just, it has to flow. You can't carve it because it starts to get the clay pieces get jagged. So it has to flow. And so I've worked on the signature for a long time, and I decided, by golly, I'm going to come out with my own signature line. That'll be coming out later this year. That's exactly, okay, now I remember. That's why I was thinking about, where did the ball cap come from to begin with? And it kind of just got me thinking. So 1 year, get this, 1 year prior to the Civil War, the baseball cap was introduced by the Brooklyn Excelsiors. Yep, baseball team, Brooklyn Excelsiors. Other teams took notice and said, hey, we got to have one of those. That blocks the sun. That's a beautiful thing. So they adopted the same style. And then about 1920, a company called the New Era Cap Company was born, and they became the predominant manufacturers for baseball teams and of these particular caps. They introduced innovations such as adjustable snapback closure in 1950. So they were just, but I kind of prefer the fitted, actually, I think is what you call the you know, it's just kind of a one size fits all, or they're fitted and they don't have the adjustment. But anyway, today we've all got different size heads, so probably getting bigger by the minute. With your signature line story. Mm-hmm. Anyway, some cool fun facts, and for me, it's about the only hat I can wear. It really is. I don't know why. I would love to wear one of those sort of rakish driving caps, or even a tam o' shanter or a beret, be it raspberry or otherwise. I'd love to be able to pull that off, but I simply cannot. I don't know if it's I don't have the right head for it. I think it is a look that some people's type of a body or their face and neck, all that structure just lends itself better to that. But for me, it's just a ball cap, period. Plus the fact that I'm going bald is helpful to have a ball cap. And like I say, my signature ball caps are coming. And so I'll unveil those to the public once I'm happy with them. I have some of the nicest, meanest friends in the world. My one friend wants to know if I'm putting my date of birth next to my signature. Yes, and the last four, my social. I think that's just a grand and great idea. And my mother's maiden name will be somewhere on the cap as well. Just hands it over to the identity thieves right now. Yeah. All right, here on Top of the World, each week we have your word. Today's word is presented by Born to Live, Finding Purpose on the Road to Hope, a little book with a big message by Chris Story. Abe thinks the world might be better off without him in it. He's facing serious loss and about to come face to face with his own mortality. Before all is lost, he meets a stranger with an even stranger story to tell. Abe must find the strength and courage to face the life he is living to get where he wants to go. Buy Born to Live right now at ilovehomeralaska.com/books. It really is a great little book. I love that little line I came up with, that it's a little book with a big message, because it's true. Most people that buy the book tell me they can, they sit down in one or two readings, and more often than not, they say they read it in a single sitting, which I take as a massive compliment. You know, Agatha Christie, by the way, and I know Agatha, but her goal in writing her books was that somebody could sit down after dinner and finish one of her stories before bed. So there you go. That's Born to Live, brings you the word. And today's word is, well, it's an Anglo-Norman 13th century adjective, privy. That's right, privy, P-R-I-V-Y, sharing in the knowledge of something secret or private. A little bit more archaic meaning is hidden or secret. I'll use the word privy in a sentence and see if I can, I think I can get this. I think I can do it on the fly, just because I'm that good. Here we go. I think a little coffee from Captain's Coffee will help. Oh, captainscoffee.com. Bob felt secure in the privy. What he wasn't privy to was the mirror was two-way with a camera behind it. Privy. Do you see what I just did? Do you? I used the word privy in two ways. Okay, so this is one of the most magical words possible, because privy also, it comes from praveus, I think, which was Roman, if I'm not mistaken, for actually private. So it's multiple meanings here, one word with so much to say.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow. If we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for you won't be long till I'm somebody to lean on. You just call on me, brother, when you need a friend. We all need somebody to lean on.
You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio 1 Purpose. How can you be so optimistic at a time like this? Well, I want to spend the last segment we've got coming up talking about that, but let me start it out by sharing one of my favorite jokes. The optimist jumped out of the window on the top floor. As he whizzed past an open window, somebody hollered out, "How's it going?" The optimist replied, "Good, so far."
He won't be long till I'm gonna need.
So I was kind of joking about that article about going broke, from broke to rich in 2024. And when I say joking, I mean to listen to The Backyard Millionaire. But in part, it's listening to things that are positive, things that are constructive, things that are going to help build your financial acuity, your understanding of how business works. Tiffany and I are analyzing a business right now to determine, do we want to move forward or not? We'll be meeting with our accountant later this week to go over tax implications. There's so much about that. And you think about, okay, that is a study that we're making, not jumping. Our goal isn't to go from here to there in just a single year. And if you do intend to become rich in a single year, my worry for you is that you could just as easily lose it in a single year. Whereas growing wealth takes time. And so understanding and listening to people that are ahead of you on the ladder of life, people that have done something different, either in a different walk of life or come at it from another angle, is important to not just get, quote, rich, but have wealth and have the opportunity to enjoy what it is you're building along the way. Because if you're not enjoying building it along the way, you're not going to enjoy once you've got it, whatever it is. So on our podcast, In the Backyard Millionaire, you can go there and check it out anywhere you get podcasts. And so this is just a podcast that I did. It's not going to be on the radio. It's literally just something for the podcast. And you go to my site, ilovehomeralaska.com/podcast, or Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, wherever the podcasts go. And this is called Brian Tracy's 7 Steps to Greatness. Not Chris Story's 7 Steps to Greatness. They're Brian Tracy's. They're worth looking at. This process that Brian takes people through, and I just share the process. It's not mine. I share Brian's version of it, and I add a few anecdotes of my own. But that's important. And when you do things like that, like, for example, when I put that together, it's informing me. I'm learning as I'm teaching this Brian Tracy material. You can go get it for free. You can go and listen to anything you want to get educated on, almost anything in the world right now, virtually free all over the internet. So my conversation coming up on Thursday with Sharon Lecter, another little spoiler sneak peek, I did ask her. And it took weeks, by the way. If you're wondering why she's not going to be a guest live on the program on Thursday, it took weeks to put together our schedules to get her into the pocket to just, okay, we can sit and have this half hour long conversation. It's going to end up airing in 2 segments on Thursday. But one of the questions I asked her was about optimism and how she can feel optimistic to go forward. And she's still learning. And she said to learn is to teach, and to teach is to learn. And it's still a part and parcel of her life. And she's guided by that principle. And so I just love this idea. There's so much free. She said, it's never been an easier time. Cause I did ask one question, and I'm hoping you can go listen to the whole conversation on Thursday with me on Backyard Millionaire. But I did ask her this one question, which is, can somebody start from nothing and get to somewhere it still, even if it's a little bit later in their life or at this time, because she made it big back in the late 80s and early 90s. Can people still have that opportunity? She's more optimistic than ever. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great conversation. Tune in on Thursday. Coming up in just a moment, how can you be so optimistic at a time like this when we return to the top of the world? You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio One Purpose. I got to clear something up here. Got to clear it up right off at the top of this segment here in the last quarter hour. I love radio. And the reason that I do podcasting is that it's evergreen. So never shall the two mix in my mind. So we put this show back out on a quote-unquote podcast to get it across the country and around the world, and that it lives there evergreen. But my producer and I, Mr. David Webb, were just discussing this, and I was telling him in the previous break, I can't stand when I'm listening to a radio program and they try to entice you away from the dial onto their streaming platform. I can't stand it. It's like, no, I'm here with you on the radio, man. Let's stay together here on the radio. This is an amazing technology, over 100 years old. Let's stay here together. That said, do I have a platform over here that's evergreen? Yes, but don't leave this to go there. And that's all I was trying to say. And I don't know. I just want to make sure I was being clear and not hypocritical, because I am really critical. In fact, there's some people that will, and I came to the conclusion that I think what's going on across a lot of these radio people today, you know, Rush was a superstar, radio guy first, then internet came later, always, and I would say this, I would say that Rush never put his internet ahead of the radio. So you hear a conversation with Rush, or you'd hear a caller, or the rare time he had a guest, like 5 times ever with a guest, very rare. It was impeccable sound. And today, because they're using YouTube and all these things ahead of radio, they don't care about the sound quality because they're looking at each other and they're pushing people to their streaming platform. So I'm not going to do that. All right, how can you be so optimistic in a time like this? And what do I mean by a time like this? I'm talking about at the brink of war. I'm talking about we could be looking at a national digital currency here pretty quick. We could be looking at a destabilized dollar that's no longer the reserve currency of the world. We could be looking at World War III. We could be looking at we're being drug into an Iranian war. We could be occupying parts of the Middle East we've never even heard of right now, we're not aware of. All these kinds of things. But I'm watching this show. Tiff and I just happened upon it last night. It's a CNN special about Martha Stewart. I think Martha Stewart's a pretty fascinating person, first off. She just did a master class recently. She's a pretty interesting person. And I'll go out on a limb and suggest that whether you're aware of it or not, I can almost guarantee something in your home right now has been influenced by Martha Stewart. Even if it's not one of her products, it's been influenced by her. She's incredibly influential. Started, I think, her business somewhere around the age of 50 or just shy of 50. But she said something in an interview with Larry King. And she said that the world appeared to be falling apart. The country was coming apart, it seems. And guess when this was? All during Watergate. And that was when President Nixon resigned, roughly 1974 era. He did resign in 1974, but that era was unsettling and very tenuous at best. So what did Martha Stewart, with a family, a young daughter and a husband, what does she have to be optimistic about? Well, here's what she decided to focus on. This is why I'm sharing this with you. She decided to focus on what she could control, what was actually within her control, and she determined that that was her home. That was what she did at home, with her home, and in her home, from baking, her family, decor. She had thought about going to school to become an architect, ended up going into finance and then on to Wall Street, one of the only women on Wall Street in 1965. Another fascinating piece of the tale. But still, think about it. She had no reason to be optimistic whatsoever, and yet she took these hobbies and turned them into a business and became influential and world-renowned. She is, what, just over 80 years old, and at 80 appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Now, that's optimism. And what optimism isn't is denying what you see or any real threat. And I think that gets conflated or confused sometimes. I think sometimes people feel that optimists are a bit Pollyannic, head in the sand, not real thinkers, they're not very smart, they're not as smart as the person who questions everything and is pessimistic. See, I told you it wouldn't work. That always appears to be a little bit more intelligent, and that's not my view of it. My view is optimism is seeing the world and moving forward, seeing the world as it is and still moving forward, solving problems, coming up with solutions. Okay, you see a massive problem right now, try to solve it. Try to come up with some way. I started communicating with Senator Sullivan. To what effect, I have no idea, here in Alaska, no idea at all, but I reply now to their press releases with stop funding the war in Ukraine. Find a peace, path to peace. We need to find a path to peace, period. It may have no impact whatsoever. I don't know, but it's something I can do. I bring optimism to the world the best I can. That's something I can do. I'm coming up with products. Tiffany and I are coming up with businesses. Tiffany and I are coming up with new plans to get the message of the backyard millionaire around the country. How can we do it? We're investing in it. We're investing our time and resources into that message because it's that important to us, even in times like this. In fact, maybe even more so in times like this. People owning more of their own backyard is that much more important. I want to live to the fullest. I really do. I do not want to be affected, impacted negatively by those with a nihilistic view of the world. I just don't. It's not that I'm going to cut that person out of my life, but I'm going to guard against their negativity seeping into my mind. It reminds me of the guy who died at 25, but they didn't bury him until he was 75. Zig Ziglar said, if you don't think every day is a good day, just try missing one of them.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
I am convinced, absolutely convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you were born with gifts that you may or may not be using to the full extent right now. That you may be holding back just a little bit, and I'm here to tell you it's time to turn on. It's time to turn it on 110%. Even if you're concerned about what the fate of the world, the fate of the planet, the fate of our country is. I'm as bullish on America as I've ever been. As when I was a kid looking on to the great Ronald Reagan and watching and listening to his speeches, when I was watching the Iran-Contra hearings with Oliver North as a kid, I loved it. I loved every second of it because I loved what America stands for. When we're wrong, we'll even fight each other over it. Hello, Civil War. I love this country. I've never been more bullish on America than I am today. And that's everything from investing in America, investing in your own backyard, investing in businesses with your own two hands, putting something real into the world, building something, something worth doing, something worth leaving, something worth remembering in this world, in this country. We are that shining city on the hill. They cannot take that from us. We can give it up, but it cannot be taken. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. I love coming here with you each week and putting aside lots of differences, because you may not know this. You have your ethos, your political bent, your leanings. And if I had to do a poll, if I did a poll, I would guarantee you that it's 65 center right. 65% of this audience is center right, to the maybe even beyond right. Okay, that's 65%. Then what about the other 35%? Center left. And they're all welcome under this one tent, under this one tent of America, America first. You love America. I love America. You may want somebody different as a quarterback than I do, those of you in the 35% category, but you're still welcome here. And one thing we have in common is that we love this country. And I really think that binds us together. And I think there's a shift happening in the country whereby people that are left, center left, politically speaking, ideologically speaking, are starting to come back towards the center and going, wait a minute, maybe they've got something to say. Or maybe we can discuss it together. So I love coming here every Tuesday that, yeah, there's a little paprika, a little political paprika once in a while sprinkled in. But you know, for the most part, you're not going to get beat over the head here with the same ramrod that is out there 24/7 in the news cycle. And so you and I have this space, almost like a little bit of white space in life. They say that white space in books helps readers relax, helps readers absorb the material you're reading more, and feel at ease almost, and it releases a dopamine in the mind that is different than just squished words together. And I think that's what this show represents. And I just want to say thank you for being part of it. You can reach out to me anytime through my website, ilovehomeralaska.com, and I love you too. Thank you for being here. Thank you to Mr. David Webb for engineering the broadcast and pushing and poking at me in the breaks and being a great friend all these years. Thank you so much again. I want to remind you to live in the present, right here.